Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We have been so blessed with this teaching in Matthew and 10:16-42, and we're continuing on with Tara today, and we talked about how do we keep from saying scripture as a cliche.
You know, it has to do with having a proper theology. We talked about that the first radio show. So we've looked at Jesus is taking them through and showing them about the relationships. And I realized in between segments that I did not catch something that I wanted to say, and I want to make sure I say it now because I think it's important for as we go forward in this next section. With these relationships, I was pondering through as we're looking at him as teacher, Lord, master, you know, the father being in the family unit. These are all binding relationships. Okay, when they followed their teacher, they were bound to the one. I mean, they literally left everything and they went wherever he went, slept wherever he went. If you have a master or a lord, you are the servant slave, you are the person under them, you have to do what they tell. It is a binding relationship that cannot be broken. When you are a part of a family unit, it cannot be broken. And I'm like, what defines these family units? And as I was praying through this, these were the things that came out to me. It's listening, learning, observing, serving, caring, obedience, discipline, growth. These are all things that are outcomes of binding relationships that we have. And when we have...
If they're healthy.
If they're healthy.
Right.
If they're healthy.
Yeah, that's
critical.
Yep,
it is critical, Tanya. Very healthy. But if they're not healthy, it's going to be in one of these that it's broken. And Janelle, in between the segments, as we were talking about the fear that he gives them as a warning that they're not to be afraid because of how loved they are, Janelle was sharing with us something that God was speaking into her heart. So Janelle, will you talk to us about the understanding factor?
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that fear often comes from what we understand or don't understand. And it's a really interesting conundrum because there's, on the one hand, we don't understand God. And we try to understand God, but where we fall short in what we know about God, what we know about how big he is, how much he loves us, and who he is what is going to give us that peace that we talked about. But the understanding of our situation is not what we were supposed to trust God and lean not on our own understanding. So it's a balance between we don't understand the situation we're in, but we understand who our God is and how much he loves us. And then fear isn't a problem because we know that we serve a God who's bigger than any situation that we're in, and we can live in his presence and trust him because he can handle it.
I love it. Isn't that so eloquent? And so when that understanding is solid, taking Tanya's word healthy, the ability to listen is a desire of our heart because it is a fruit of the Spirit for us to have self-control to stop our mouth so we can hear. Then we are willing and teachable to hear so that we can receive what's being taught to us. We are able to observe so that we can know what's going on so that we're better equipped to go in and serve. We're better able at serving because we see where needs are. And we are able to care because it's the love of Christ in us pouring out of us. It's like all of these are outcomes of the fruit of the Spirit being done. Obedience, it may be hard, but it's a want to when we have a proper understanding of God. And then also that discipline of doing what needs to happen so that growth can occur. I was just like blown away as I was thinking through that and processing this. But what I have discovered is that when the understanding's not there and we have an improper theology, we don't have theology proper, we break down in each of these in some form. So something as simple as, you know, a basic thing like when I was young, my mama taught me, if you stay at someone's house, even though you know they may make the bed when you leave, you make the bed. You don't leave the house without restoring the room back to what it was before you were. That's a basic servant skill you should do. My mom in my household, that was a skill she taught me. As a speaker, going on the speaking whatever, when I went through training, and Tanya and I went to a training together many years ago, Michigan, yeah. Carol Kent Ministries, mm-hmm. and it wasn't at that one. This was probably a seminary one. They said, you never leave a room or a facility that you are serving in where you do not leave it exactly the way it was when you entered.
Hmm.
So if you pulled something out, that something needs to be put away. If you moved something, shifted something, that is a servant thing. Because I am teachable, I'm going to recognize those places that I can serve. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And those
yes.
are kind of like simple, basic things.
Mm-hmm.
Now we take that on a spiritual level. If I am teachable on a spiritual level, if I have a teacher or a master over me or within the household of faith comes to me yeah. and says, you know what? I recognize what you're saying. I hear your story. Let's go back and let's look at the lies.
Mm.
Then in the teachableness of listening, learning, observing, wanting to serve in the way they are showing because they care, because I care about those that are walking in obedience, the discipline and growth, then I'm going to want to hear it so that I can live it out. So if they're helping me to flesh out the flesh by using the word, then that's what I need to do. The breakdown happens if I don't have a proper understanding of God.
Right.
It always comes back to that. And so if I'm established in what I know in my knower, as my pastor Kurt would say, you know, you just know in your knower is what he says. I call it that little holy nudge.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, it won't happen if we don't have that right.
Right.
And that breakdown is it's hard. So what happens, I asked the question at the end of the last show, is how do we keep it from being a cliche? When we're given a scriptural truth, don't fear the one that can take the body. Fear the one that can take the body and the soul. How do we make sure that anytime we use any aspect of scripture in a circumstance, not as a cliche?
Mm.
Sandy, you gave a very good answer on break. Do you remember what you said? You said about if we tell them it's because we want to help
yeah.
in love.
You know, when you see somebody hurting or filled with hatred or whatever, you just want to help them because that's not that person. Something has overcome them, and it's taking their whole life.
Okay, you just explained a proper theology. Proper theology recognizes that when I'm in a battle with a person, I am not in a battle against flesh and blood, because Scripture says that. That is a scriptural truth that you have owned and you're using as proper theology. Improper theology says that person's mean and nasty, and that person's worthy of being treated as mean and nasty.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And so it's helping ourselves to establish the proper theology. Go ahead, Janelle.
I love it.
Tanya touches my elbow, and Janelle touches her nose. This is how I know when somebody has something to say.
And I just talk.
Let's lean in. Let me see.
Yeah, that's cute.
It just reminds me, we talked in Bible study this summer about the difference between who you are and the flesh that you live in.
Mm.
Because... Mm. Who we are as Christians is not the sinful, broken people. We've died to that.
Amen.
We cannot live in it any longer. Who we are is a child of God. We still live in the flesh. We still struggle in the flesh. And we still do things that are stupid. But
yeah, we're sheep.
We're born of God. Who we are, who God has redeemed us to be, mm-hmm. does not sin. No one who is born of God sins. We've been created to be something better, something new. And we're not that sinful person anymore. And no one, like, we look at other people then, and no one who is born of God, any of these people, none of them are the ones who are sinning. It's the flesh that they live in and they struggle in. We have to see that as their battle, not who they are.
Mm-hmm. And that is a proper theology, a proper theology of identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting that established, thank you, God, at 20 years of age.
Right.
That's critical. Because if we do not have a proper theology of our identity, then we're going to crumble in circumstances where our identity is attacked by man.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the spirit of perfectionism, I think, is probably one of the biggest little nasty lies that hits Christendom. You know, the spirit of condemnation, and that if I'm not perfect, then man's not going to approve of me. Well, we are not here for man's approval. Proper theologists, we're here for God's
mm-hmm.
approval. And he says, you're approved.
Mm-hmm.
I created you. And so getting that right. Okay, so let's take it to the next passage in this segment of the story, and where he talks to them and he says, I want you to understand, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Mm. What do you think he means by acknowledge? Like, let's be very specific. What is Jesus referring to when he says, acknowledge me before men?
Well, I think it's when you're going through circumstances, which we all do, that we acknowledge that it's only because of Jesus that we can walk through it. Okay. To me, that's an acknowledgement of him.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's, and then I go back to a rap song that I listened to. And it's, you know, he's confessing to God that I was in the midst of sinners and I didn't say your name.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, that's good.
That's good. You know, good. Just not necessarily.
Can
huge.
You do it in the?
Yeah.
Can you rep it?
And Colin walked out, so no, he probably could. I just, you know, and I think about that. It's not necessarily huge sin. It's maybe a conversation that's gone the wrong way, or just maybe even small things. Because, you know, he gives us those small chances to. You know, to say, hey, you know, where are we at?
Good.
So
that's good.
Mm. Oh yeah, you go. I think it kind of goes along with like how he says to whisper in the dark. Like he whispers in the dark, and then you proclaim it. It's like if we don't proclaim what God has whispered to us, we're not acknowledging what He's given us.
True.
We're not acknowledging Him and Him in our lives.
I like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. What He's whispered to us
in the dark.
Our closet, right?
Our closet. Yep.
But. I'm going to say probably along the same things, because that would be where he'd give us acknowledging his power, his promises, mm-hmm. and then also his lordship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's good. That's all good. It is a proclamation. It is an acknowledgement of his name. It is the promises, mm-hmm. the commands, and all those factors that come in. Now, what does that look like sifted out in life? You know, just for myself and my husband, Greg, just in our pillow talk, laying in bed at night, you know, we'll be talking through the day and we'll say, you know, blah, blah, this is what's going on. And we talk through it. And without even having it be something that we make happen, mm-hmm. it's not something that Greg and I say, oh, well, we have to make sure it's Jesus we're talking about. Because we have Jesus in us. It is That's an automatic that it comes through the filter of a biblical mm-hmm. knowledge. And so we talk through the circumstances. Well, you know, yeah, I didn't handle that so scripturally or, mm-hmm. you know, this or that. And, you know, it just becomes a part of our natural mm-hmm. dialogue without us even really being aware that it's there. So even our acknowledgement can be just through our natural dialogue of the inflow of what he has already given mm-hmm. us. And so it's all of the things that we've said, but I want us to understand, because we are a redeemed child, mm-hmm. because the Holy Spirit resides in us, without us even being aware, our acknowledgement will be professed. And it just comes forth out of us. There are times that I have to consciously tell myself, bring it out. Mm-hmm. And then there are other times it just spits out of my mouth, yeah. and it's mm-hmm. just coming out, and I'm not even, you know, it's like it's not a planned forethought. You know, and so acknowledgement is that because he is, I am, mm-hmm. therefore I am a part of what he is about. And so wanting to make sure that we understand that acknowledgement, literally, it also comes in our walk. It's mm-hmm. evident. Mm-hmm. Our character is revealed by the things we do. Mm-hmm. And you know, little things, the subtle things, you know, respecting things of other people and circumstances, mm-hmm. that acknowledges his presence, because we're doing in obedience to what his Bible says. So if I am not lying, I'm not cheating, I'm not stealing, I'm not having an adulterous relationship, I'm not putting idols before me, if I am literally my life is evidence of the Ten Commandments, that is an acknowledgement when I'm a child of God. Now we can be morally good, but it has to be where it's an acknowledgement, it's through Christ in us. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. He also says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you. That's kind of scary.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. How do we help somebody process that verse and not live in fear of denying Jesus?
I think it's kind of like you just said, you know, when he's in you, it just comes out. You don't even think about it. It's just the way the conversation goes. Mm. That's how you filter things.
Right. I've actually been asked that question this week. Mm. How do I keep my mouth from speaking something that would be a denial of Christ? Mm. And Beth, you've nailed it. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, we won't deny him. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God will not deny himself. So when they were accusing Jesus and saying, you know, you're of Beelzebub, some translations mm-hmm. said that. Some translations say Satan, some say devil. When it says you're of the devil, three times he's accused of that. And he's like, you know, the house will not divide itself. And he goes, if I am of him, then I would not be proclaiming Christ. Yeah. House will not divide itself. So if the house is of Beelzebub, it will proclaim Beelzebub. If the house is of mm-hmm. Jesus, it will proclaim mm-hmm. Jesus. And the best example I know of, and I think I've probably said this on the radio before, was Cassie Bernal in the Columbine shooting. Mm. Yes. And the only reason why I know her story so well is because our singles pastor at Houston's First Baptist, that was his niece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when confronted at gunpoint, she mm-hmm. said, I will not deny Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The only way we could stand there and do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit in us.
Absolutely.
And I had a pastor say, you will not deny Christ if you have the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit in you. Because the Spirit won't deny himself from the very thing that Jesus said about this mm-hmm. passage. And so the very fact that maybe we're afraid that we might tells us that, you know, the person loves the Lord.
Yeah, I think so. Too.
Caring, yeah. mm-hmm. caring that they.
Because if we didn't fear or don't care,
then the Spirit's not in us. Right. And so that in of itself, okay? We're going to look at. Oops. Wait, 2 minutes left.
Nope,
One minute left. Oh, 1 minute left. We're just doing so fast. We're going to, next week, I want us to end with our segment on going into where Jesus says, do not think I've come to bring peace to the earth, but I've come to bring a sword. And we're going to end up asking the question and dialoguing about why is it that Jesus can call himself the Prince of Peace mm-hmm. and yet he says, I did not come to bring peace. There seems to be a paradox there mm-hmm. or a conundrum as our dear what's your name?
Janelle.
As Janelle would say. I am so bad at that. That's so funny. And so I want us to come back and dialogue and see what we can come up with on that. And we're going to actually talk about the disciples and how each of them with these costs actually honored the costs mm-hmm. unto death. Mm. We're mm-hmm. so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.